So once again, welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. It gives me immense pleasure to introduce our today's speaker, His Grace Kamal Lochan Prabhuji. And Prabhuji would be enlightening us by walking us through Srimad Bhagavatam 4.13.34 onwards. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, thank you so much. Dhanvat Pranam. I saw you on the call, so Dhanvat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for giving us this opportunity, your valuable time and association this morning. I would like to hand over the call to you now. Hare Krishna.
Nashaprayesha Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhakte Bhavati Vaishnavi. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 13, Text Number 34. Tantan Kaman Harihi Dadyat Yan Kamayate Janaha Aramikaha Yatha Eva Eshaha Tatha Kumsam Pada Udayaha. Tanustan Kaman Harizatyat Yan Kamayate Janaha Aradito Yathevasya Tata Pumam Panodayaha Tantam Kamam Narizadhyaya Yamyam Kamayate Janaha Aradito Aradito Yathevasya
Word to word. Tang tang, those, kama, desired objects, harihi, the Lord, the dhyan, with the word, yam yam, whatsoever, kama yate, desires, janaha, the person, aradhitaha, being worshipped, yatha, as, eva, certainly, Esha, Lord, Tatha, similarly, Pumsam of men, Phala Udayaha, the results. Translation is but put by Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada,
the performer of the sacrifices under the Karmakanda activity achieves a fulfillment of the desires for which worships the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that He awards benedictions to the worshippers according to His desire. The Supreme Personality of God gives all living conditions within this material world full freedom to act in their own way. But the devotees, He says, that instead of working in that way, it is better to surrender Him. For He will take charge of devotee. That is the difference between a devotee and a fruitive actor. A fruitive actor enjoys only the fruits of his own activities, where a devotee, being under the guidance of the Supreme Lord, simply advances in devotional service to achieve the ultimate goal of life, to go back home, back to the Godhead. The significant word in this verse is kaman, which means sense gratificatory desires. A devotee is devoid of all kama. He is anyabhilashita shunya. A devotee is always devoid of all desires for sense gratification. He only aims to satisfy and gratify the senses of the Lord. That is the difference between a karmi and a devotee. Omakyam gandhasya gyanam jashanam.
शिक्षरोन्मिलितं तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभिष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा दाति स्वप्रदानं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरौ श्रीयुतां श्रीगुरुवैष्णवमस्तु श्रीरूपं सार्वजातं सकलरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधा कृष्णपादां सनन्दाशिषापालिकांश्च श्रीकृष्णाकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेशगोपिकान्तराधाकान्तकाङ्क्षनगौरङ्गिराधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि विषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिपति वाञ्छागणपतरूप्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाध शिवासागुरौ गौरवत्वकृत हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please forgive Krishna. Me for disturbing. Prabhuji, the sound is coming echo, Prabhu. Can you come a little bit near?
Oh. Hare Krishna, is it okay now?
Yes, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
So now in the fourth canto, Vidura and Maitreya, we are having a conversation. And just now, Dhruva Maharaj, he has completed his Dhruva Maharaj.
Prabhuji, your voice is not clear again.
Hare Krishna, is it okay now?
This is better now, Prabhuji. Thank you.
Just now, Dhruva Maharaj's pastime is over. Now the pastime of Pachetas has been spoken, because in the fourth canto already the devotional service in mode of ignorance has been described, devotional service in mode of passion has been described. Now devotional service in mode of goodness, that is Prithu Maharaj, has to be discussed. And devotional service in pure goodness, that is by Pachetas, has to be discussed. Now, Prithu Maharaj appears in the family of Dhruva Maharaj. So the lineage has been discussed, the Tau, Dhruva Maharaj's son and his son, in this way went on. And it came to Veda, or his father, Prithu, or his father, Anga. So Anga Maharaj, he wanted a son. And the question was about, why is it so that Anga Maharaj got so frustrated that his own son had to go away? Anga was such a great personality, such a great king, pious king. And still, he had such a horrible son. And why is it so the Brahmanas, they killed him? These were the questions which came. Then the story continued saying that Anga Maharaj was performing Ashwamedha Yajna. And this Ashwamedha Yajna, when he was performing, there were the Brahmanas. So these Brahmanas were offering Ahuti to the demigods. But the devas did not come and accept the offerings. So the priest told the king, "Oh king, see, the devatas are not coming. When we do the sacrifice for the devatas, you do the offerings. Indra, Swayam, Idam, Namama, it is not mine. This Varunas, it is not mine." So in the sacrifice it is going on, and none of the devatas were coming and accepting the ahuti. So during the Satyuga, actually the devatas used to personally come and accept ahuti, because the Brahmins were so perfect. And the time was also different. In the age of Kali, the demigods don't personally come and accept the sacrifice in the physical forms. So they accept by the mantras. But during the age, when this sacrifice was going on, the devotees were personally coming, and they would accept the sacrifice, whatever the part is meant for them, and then go. So these brahmanas, they were very confused what to do. The brahmanas are known as ritvija or ritvik. So these ritvijas, other ritvijaha, havimshi, huyamanani, all the havi which they offered were not accepted by the demigods, and they were very much worried. Then they told the king, O king, that our offerings are not contaminated at all. Because when we collect the offerings, which are supposed to be offered in the sacrifices, which is called upadana, so we purify them perfectly. Even though there is some contamination, we purify them. And Bhuta Shuddhi, we do those things. And not only that, we have collected them with faith. There's a lot of Shraddha involved in it. And not only that, the mantras, what we are chanting, they are very perfect. And Chandam Sayata Yamani, and we are chanting it exactly the way it should be chanted. And is also chanted by whom? Dhravratihi, the Brahmins who are practicing very strong vows of tapasya and renunciation. So how is it so that devatas are not coming? We're totally confused about it. So then we are insulted the devatas or what? No, they saw. Na vidameha devanam helanam vayam anvapi. And we are not even thought about that the demigods have to be insulted. Because when you do the yajna, even though you are doing everything perfectly, but you have insulted one demigod, they won't come because it's all personal. So the karmakanda, which is actually mentioned in the Vedic literatures, it is a very personal thing. Like Indra, Agni, Varuna, Vayu. So they are actually persons. They are not just some material objects. Like somebody may say, oh, Vayu is air. How can you personalize Vayu? Maybe somebody may be thinking that some of the philosophers, they say, oh, you Vedic people, you just personalize everything just to glorify them. Now, sometimes it so happens that you receive air and you feel that, oh, the air, Vayu has done so much of benefit for you. So to glorify Vayu, make him a person. Actually, Vayu is not a person, it is inert object. Why are you personalizing Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu, Agni? You are all personalizing them. So all these elements, they have a person behind them. So some people say it is an exaggeration of personalizing them. Actually, we are not personalizing them. Actually, they are persons. Because in this world, you find inert objects, they don't move. But all these objects, the fire is doing something. Fire is burning. It is burning because there is consciousness behind it. Like the body is moving because the soul is behind it. So in the same way, elements are also functioning in this world because there is a person behind it. Movements don't happen without consciousness. Movements and activities are done with a particular intention. That intention comes from consciousness. So it's a very important point to be understood. So the greatest opponents of our philosophy, of the personal philosophy, are those who actually say not only God, even the demigods are also not persons. It is only material objects. To such an extent, the Karmamimamsa philosophers, even they also don't really accept the demigods as persons. Actually speaking, those who follow the so-called demigod worship and who call themselves as demigod worshippers, if you go to the roots of their philosophy called Karmamimamsa philosophy, they only consider demigods to be the thought forms of the mantras. They only exist because you think they exist. Oh, what a philosophy. Actually, the demigods are happy with Vaishnavas. Because at least Vaishnavas, even though they don't worship them, at least the demigods are happy with the Vaishnavas because they don't. Vaishnavas don't consider the demigods to be impersonal or just some elements. So, the demigods are very pleased. At the same time, Vaishnavas don't disrespect the demigods. But at the same time, those who call proclaim themselves to be demigod worshippers, they actually insult the demigods like anything. We know it very well. When Ganesh Chaturthi happens, what happens? All the Ganesh Chaturthi in front of Ganesha, they're playing a film song. So what is happening? Insulting Ganesha. And you talk about Ganesha being a person, they don't accept it. You talk about Lord Shiva being a person, say, no, it's all just coming from Om, impersonal. So they don't even accept the demigods are persons. What to speak of their worship? That is why, if at all there is anybody who actually really respects and worships demigods, have give some good position to them, have a perfect understanding of them, it is the Vaishnavas. So here, they all said that we have committed some offense. No, we have never committed that. Why is it that demigods are not coming? They are not witnessing our sacrifice. We can see that all the shares which are given to them, Ahuti, it is just lying there. To such an extent, in the fire, when they put the fire, is not burning it also. In the age of Kali, how do you know the demigods have accepted, or whomever you have offered, they accepted, when the fire burns it? In the age of, in the previous ages, the fire, sacrificial fire, would not burn the particular Ahuti offered to the demigod until the demigod would come and accept, say, Tathas, okay, I accepted it. So that was the power of sacrifice. Now, hearing all these things, Maitreya, he asked Vidura, oh, what is this? Ango dvijaha uchaha hrutva. Anga, he heard all the things spoken by the dvijas, brahmanas. He says, yajamanaha sudar sudur manaha. So he became very depressed. Sudur manaha. Tat prishtam. Then he asked the assembled learned people in the arena of the sacrifice. So in the sacrifice in the arena, not only the Brahmins, but actually the priests who were there, who were offering the oblations, the four kinds of Brahmins, Brahma, Hota, Udva, Urudghata, four kinds of Brahmins are required for any sacrifice to be performed. So they are actually called the Ritvija. they are the representatives on behalf of the Yajaman to do the sacrifice. But apart from that, in the Sadasya means in the assembly, there are more learned people. So when these priests, they got confused, Anga turned his face towards towards those people who are assembled. And he started speaking. Actually, you are not supposed to speak. When you are taken a vow of sitting in a sacrifice and getting a sacrifice performed, that means when you are Yajaman of the sacrifice, that means you are the person who are hosting the sacrifice, he is not supposed to speak a single word or drink anything, do anything. The moment he takes sankalpa means a strong vow that I am going to complete the sacrifice, I am going to be here in the sacrifice. But these days, after sankalpa, say, hey, you can go and come, we'll do later on, you can come, you can talk, do anything, come back, watch TV and come back. That is what people say. But actually, as a host of the sacrifice, as a yajaman of the sacrifice, the person who is yajaman as well as his wife, both of them, dharmapatri samayatasya, no, you cannot do sacrifice alone. You had to be with your wife to do the sacrifice. Any Vedic sacrifice has to be done with a wife if you are married. If you are not married, don't do any sacrifice. If you are a brahmachari and you are a sannyasi, you don't have to. But if you are really married and you have taken sankalpa, then you had to be the wife and sit there with mauna vrata, complete attention to the sacrifice on the demigods. Now he took permission from the priest and then inquired to the sadasyaha. Sadasya means those who are sitting in the assembly. He said, oh, the devatas, they do not come and do not accept the share of the sacrifice. Please tell, you are the leaders in the assembly. They are actually great philosophers, scholars, they are mantris. So tell me, what offense I committed? May these priests are very pure. And it must be because of my offense that these demigods are not coming and accepting the sacrifice. And all these people who were there in the assembly, they started saying, O king, we have known you right from your birth. You are not committed sin, any of the sins. Nor in your mind you have committed any sin. In the slightest of sin you have not committed. This is all because from the previous life you are bringing forward some sinful reactions which is affecting you now. So now there are a lot of people, especially in India and many people in the West also, there is a big racket going on, that is astrologer racket. They come and say, you have some problem, you don't have sun, you don't have this, I will give you one stone by which you will get this. I will perform exam to you so that this will happen to you. You will get this son, you will get a wife, you will get profit in business. But they are all fooling us. Until unless there is a yoga. Yoga means you should have the karma to get the result. Until unless you have the karma to get the result. And there are certain obstructions which are really obstructing you from getting the result. So then some kind of karma kanda will work. But if it is not in your karma, certain things are not in our karma, then a good astrologer said, don't go for it. It is not in your karma. It is not in your yoga. Just keep quiet. Chant and be happy. So even though one may have material desires, and just because he has desired and performed some karma, that doesn't happen. Because many of the atheistic people, especially during the British time, they started challenging the Vedic authority, saying that, you see, in the Vedas there is so much of promise. If you do this, you will get this. If you do this, you will get this. I have done this, I did not get. He has done this, he did not get. He has done it, he did not get. So that means Vedas are wrong. The Vedic mantras are wrong. No, Vedic mantras are not. There are two considerations whenever there is some karmakanda practice goes on. Number one consideration is the purity of the chanter and the sacrifice itself, the entire thing. Number two is there should be yoga. Your chart or your karma should say that by doing so, there is a possibility of getting it. Until unless that is there, even though you may do 100 sacrifices, it will not come. So both should be taken into consideration. Without without considering both, if you just say, I did sacrifice, I did not get, so sacrifice itself is wrong. No. Sri Padmadvacharya, he was challenged with this question when he went to Lakshmanpur, which is known as Lucknow. So there, the king was an atheistic person. He was against the Vedas. It is not only these days they are against Vedic literatures. During Madhvacharya's time, 800 years back also, it was something like that. The whole kingdom, he was actually arguing against all the Brahmins, saying that you are chanting these mantras are no use because I got one mantra done, I got one yajna done, no results came. So that means your process itself is wrong. The mantra itself is wrong. So then when Madhvacharya came and all the saintly people there in the country, they told the king, you see, it's your duty to invite him because he's a great pundit. The great sannyasi from South India, and he's a great learned scholar, and he has written Bhashya also. You should invite him. Then the king told, I am the king. If he wants, let him come and meet me. Somehow the sadhus, they all convinced him to go and meet the king and convert him. Then Madhvacharya, he went there, and the king said, he had the same argument. That is, in spite of all the sacrifices, people are doing it, some hardly one or two get the results, but not everybody get the results. So there will be some problem with the sacrifice itself. There is some problem with the mantras itself. So Vedic mantras, they are just fooling people. The mantra itself is wrong. So then Madhvacharya, he asked the king to get some moong dal. So he got the moong dal, and some people say moong dal, some others say some other seeds. So he took them in his hands. And then chanted one sukta from the Vedas called Aushadhi Sukta. So he just chanted the Aushadhi Sukta and just threw those the seeds on the floor. By the potency of his chanting, the seeds just started growing up, and then it gave fruits, leaves, flowers, everything, and it became a nice, wonderful plant or a tree. The king was shocked, and everybody was shocked. Then Madhvacharya told this thing. He says, there should be two important things for any mantra to give its result. Number one, it should be chanted by the proper Brahmins. Number two is that until unless the person, the yajaman, has the yoga, he should not have a sin which will not give that result. So until this is there, you will not get the result. So in this way, these brahmanas, they told, you see, by normal way you cannot get any result of this because you got sin. The sin was in the previous life. So there is one sin from the previous life which you, though sinless now, no, you not no sin, but you don't have a son. Now, then king was completely sorrow. I want a son, I want a son, I want a son. Because the desire for a son should be a natural thing for every person who marries. Every married couple should have a desire to get a son. People should get married only with children. These days, say, son, we are going to plan, we are planning to have children after 2 years. This is all sin. There is nothing like planning to have children after 2 years and 3 years. This is all nonsense. One should get married not to become husband, not to become wife, but to become mother and father. And this is the system, this land of Bharata, this culture, Vedic culture, taught every girl child to become a mother. Taught every boy child to become a father. Not to become wife, not to become husband. Actually, one should get married to become mother-father, not to become husband-wife. If you become husband-wife, you will fight. If you become mother-father, then you will take care. Because mother means care, father means protect. Husband-wife means what? Fight. That is what happens in every house. Husband-wife fight. So, try to become mother and father. That is the purpose of getting married. Anga knew very well. So, he is desperately longing for a son. Actually, there is one sanskar called Punsavan sanskar. That means they do the sanskar for getting a male child. The desire to have a male child is always there in the Vedic literatures. Of course, there are some great kings who wanted a female child because they thought, oh, Lakshmi should become my daughter so that Narayana will not go away from me. Because wherever Lakshmi is there, Krishna is definitely going to come. Then if you ask Krishna, like, what happened to Devaki and Vasudev? They got Krishna. Krishna left. Oh, then Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they took care of Krishna and Krishna left. So it may happen that Krishna may leave you even though he is born to you. But if Lakshmi is born to you, then Radharani is born to you, Krishna will search for her can come. So this is one clan of devotees who think, no, I want a girl child. But in general, they want, generally people want, we want a male child. So here, tata sadhya badhramte. So they told, if you you produce a good son, all fortune unto you, badhramte, atmanam su prajam nipaha. There is one process, there is one methodology. If Krishna wants, then he can transcend all your astrology. Because your sin from the previous life, for him there is no rule. He can transcend any rule. You cannot bind Krishna by your karma or anybody's karma. He is beyond. He himself is not bound by any karma. How can he be bound by your karma? If he wants, he can surpass all rules and regulations and all authority. That is what Krishna's position is. So they advised him. What is the advice? You don't worry that the demigods are not coming. You just with great bhakti, you worship the Supreme Lord. Atmanam suprajanam nripaha ishtaste putra kamaya putra andasyati yajnabhuk. So here, there is an interesting word which is being used here. That is yajnabhuk. Yajnabhuk Ishwaraha. So Yajnabhuk has been used by Sukadeva Goswami and Srimad Bhagavatam also. When Lord Brahma, he saw Krishna sitting in the middle of the forest. And in circles and circles and circles, like nice lotus flower with a hole in the center, all the cowherd boys were opening their own dabbas and the tiffins and they were eating. And Brahma is seeing, what is he seeing? One boy ate samosa. And they're so tasty. Oh, very nice. Other boy told, oh, it's so tasty. You ate without giving to me. He put his finger in the mouth of the boy, plucked out the juta samosa and put in his mouth. Oh, so tasty, so nice. Our boy told, oh, you are eating without giving to Krishna. He put his fingers in the mouth of this boy. He took the double juta thing and put in the mouth of Krishna. Now Brahma saw this thing. Yajna Bhukishwaraha. One who is a lord of all sacrifices, who is accepting Havisha, which is cooked with rice and ghee, which is so pure, and now he is eating something juta, not only juta, double juta. So yajna, yajna Bhukishwara, that is what used there in Bhagavatam too. Krishna has been addressed yajna book. Brahma got surprised. One who accepts only in yajna, he is now eating something which is contaminated. How can this boy be God? God bewildered. So putran dasati yajna book. So he will give you putra, don't worry about it. Demigods come, don't come, you don't worry about it. The Lord of the sacrifice, if he is pleased by your act of devotion, by your offering, now he can transgress everything. So you worship Krishna, who can transgress all the rules and regulations. And if Krishna comes, then all the demigods, they have to come. So this is the nature of the demigods. If Krishna comes, they all will come. So you worship Krishna, then all the demigods will come. That was his argument, rather argument of all the sadasyas. Now you worship Krishna. So those who are learned, that is what is their job. What is their job? Somehow or other, engage a person's mind who is full of desires in service of Krishna. Somehow connect him with Krishna. Akamaha, sarvakamova, mokshakamodari, udaradihi, tivrena, bhakti yogera, yetam purusham param. A very interesting verse. This says, akamaha sarvakamova, akamaha. You have no desires? No problem. Sarvakamova, you all desires? No problem. Mokshakamo, you are mokshakama, you want liberation? No problem. In all situations, tivrena yajetam, by great determination, endeavor, you worship Krishna. So this is the process of devotional service. That is, engage anybody and everybody, whether somebody has got desires, no desires, worship Krishna. When you worship Krishna, all the demigods have to follow. So that is the real purpose of all the mantras in the Vedas. In the Vedic literatures, there are so many mantras addressing different demigods. Not only different mantras addressing different demigods, but in the Puranas also, there is Kanda Purana, there is Shiva Purana, there is Markandeya Purana. There are so many Puranas. In every Purana, there is a deity which is being glorified. So why it is so? If Krishna is Supreme Lord, why the scriptures are confusing? The scriptures, they are describing that deity and this deity, just completely confusing people. And exactly contradictory things are spoken in the Vedic literatures. Why is it so? Of course, contradiction is there. That doesn't mean you reject it. Rejecting contradiction is foolishness. Rejecting something because there is some contradiction, that is foolishness. Why? It is as foolish as, I am giving an example given by Sri Padmadvacharya. He says that there was a family of four brothers. And this family of four brothers, they were very poor. They were with so much of sunk in poverty. But somehow they were loving each other. Each had helpful nature to them in that way. All of a sudden one person comes. Oh, you foolish people, you are actually rich people. You dig this place in your house, in the backyard of your house. So they dug. What happened? They found a huge treasure. As soon as the treasure came, what happened? They started fighting among each other. Now somebody may say, "Hey, why this treasure is so useless, it's hopeless, you know, they were peaceful before, after the treasure came, they started fighting among each other." Now, is the problem with the treasure or is the problem with the four brothers' greed? The problem is not with the treasure, it is the greed of the four brothers, that is the problem. Because as soon as you get some treasure, what happens? There will be problem. That is the nature of this world. But the treasure is not the problem. The problem is something else. Just see how scientifically he explains. So, just because the Puranas and the Vedas talk about different demigods and talk so many contradictory things, they glorify the demigods to such an extent that even you forget Krishna sometimes, even sometimes when Purana says that Lord Shiva gave Sudarshan Chakra to Vishnu. It's true, that story is also true. Now, when these demigods just think of mind, then Shiva Madhvacharya says, it is the same thing. The Puranas and the Vedas, when they talk about the demigods, actually it is like the treasure being revealed. But as soon as the treasure is being revealed, these four brothers fight. And people, foolish people think that earlier the four brothers were peaceful. And because of this treasure, they are fighting. So better no treasure. So give the Puranas. Give demigods. Don't even talk about them. The Shripad Madhvacharya says, no. It is, the problem is not with the treasure, the problem is with the greed of the, in the same, the problem is with our lack of understanding about the demigods. It is not with the demigods. Rather, each demigod's glory is nothing but the partial manifestation of the glory of Krishna. So when you hear about Lord Shiva's glories, you should understand it is a partial manifestation of the glory of Lord Krishna manifested through Lord Shiva. And ultimately, who is ultimate Shiva is Krishna. When you see a person, you call him by some name, some Ravi. Are you calling the cloth what he's wearing? Are you calling the banyan what he's wearing? Are you calling the skin what he's got as Ravi? Are you calling the bones of Ravi as Ravi? No, you're calling the person inside the same way. When you say Shiva, when Vedas say Lord Shiva, and Vedas glorifying Lord Shiva, actually it is glorifying the Paramatma, the Supreme Lord Krishna, Hari sitting in Lord Shiva's. Antaryami. So all the Vedas, though they are externally glorifying different demigods, all the glories in the Vedas, though externally seen as the glories of the demigods, they are all actually meant to glorify Krishna. Shripad Madhvacharya's commentary. It talks about how Vedas, every word in the Veda, what to speak of, every word, whatever we use in this world, is nothing but glory of Krishna. And all the sadasya, they are panditas. Sadasya means those who are sitting there, they are very learned people. So they knew very well. Oh, don't worry about anything. All the demigods, they said, don't come. If Krishna comes, everybody has come. If Krishna is pleased, everybody is pleased. Yaspin tushte jagat tushte, they were learned. So learned means not knowing the mantras. Like these Ritvijas, they were only knowing the mantras, they became very afraid of demigods, why they are not coming, where they are not coming. But the learned people are something different. That is why just knowing the Vedas, or just knowing the way how to chant the Vedas, doesn't make you learned. For that you need to be a Siddhanti, you need to be a scholar, you need to know the essence of the Vedas. Vedesya sarve rahameva vidyo vedanta krit veda videva chaham. So who is the knower of the Vedas? One who chants the mantras is the knower of the Vedas? No. One who knows Krishna, he knows Vedas. Veda vedye pare pumsi dateta shradatmane veda vedyaha. One who is the object of the Vedas. One who is to be known through the Vedas. Shripad Madhvacharya again explains, saying that if Krishna has to be known through the Vedas, that means every part of the Veda is only glorifying Krishna and nothing else. This is another interpretation what he gives. It is not that from the whole of the Vedas, Krishna has to be known as Supreme Personality of Godhead. No. Every part of the Veda is only talking about Krishna. Veda Vedya. Suppose in the Vedas or in the Puranas, glories of Skanda. Kartika has spoken. Actually, it is not Kartika's glory, it is Krishna's glory. If you can know that is the meaning of knowing Krishna. Vedesya sarve, sarve means every part of the Veda is talking about Krishna only. So these are the Panditas. They knew the conclusion of the Vedas. So when you know the conclusion of the Vedas, you know the position of Krishna, you know the position of the demigods, said, don't worry, your desire will be fulfilled. Because you have bhakti. And bhakti is transcendental to all your karmas, all rules and regulations. And Krishna is beyond all rules and regulations. It is only between if Krishna and you. So Krishna will definitely give you worship him. Now comes this verse. Tatha. Tatha. Swabhaga deyani. What happened? The supreme enjoyer of all sacrifices is invited to fulfill your desire for a son. So they told Tatha. When he comes, all the demigods would come. Tatha. Now today's verse, if you see, very interesting. Tamstam kaman haridadyat. Whatever kama, they put a clause here. What is that clause? If Krishna would come and he will fulfill the desire. But he will fulfill the desire according to his desire. Now generally, Anga would have expected a son. What kind of son? Very nice son, will listen to me. Achha, good boy. I'll be a nice king. He'll become a Kula Pradipa. And all these things he may be expecting. But Krishna has his own way of fulfilling a desire. Okay, you have a desire? Go and ask Krishna. Oh Lord, I have this desire. But don't expect Krishna to fulfill your desire in the way you want to fulfill. We want the desire to be fulfilled. He has his own way of fulfilling the desires. So though Krishna seems that he is being controlled by the devotee's love, at the same time, he is not a fool. He has his own way of doing things. Whom did he give? He gave Veena. The most cruel king who could ever even imagine, Anga had to run away from the house. Though he got a son, he has to run away from the house. So you cannot cheat Krishna. By devotion, you cannot cheat Krishna. Definitely you can control Krishna, but you cannot cheat him. Krishna has his own way of doing things. That is why I say, Tamstam kaman hari dadyat. Yam yam kamayate janaha aradito yate vaishva tatha puman palo udakaha. The results will come. So now it is up to Krishna to fulfill your desire or not. And it is up to Krishna how he is going to fulfill your desire. So that is called surrender. So when a devotee has desired, even still having a desire, he can be surrendered to Krishna. How? Oh Lord, it is my desire. And it is up to you to fulfill or not. It is up to you in what way you want to fulfill the desire. And that is called pure devotional service. In spite of we having a desire. Anya vilashita ita. See, this verse has been quoted by Srila Prabhupada. Anya abilashita. Just see here, the whole point here is the verse doesn't say anya, doesn't say sarva abhilashita shunyam. Very interesting. It is not sarva abhilashita shunyam. Sarva means all. Giving up all desires. No, that is not the verse talking about which defines pure devotional service. Pure devotional service is defined perfectly only in this verse. Any verse which is defining pure devotional service, they only tried to define pure devotional service, whether it is from any Purana, any Veda, anywhere. It is only Rupa Goswami in the entire existence, in the spiritual and material. He has perfectly defined pure devotional service. No Veda, no Purana has described, no Acharya has described or defined pure devotional service. They only tried to do so. Even Narada, when he wrote Narada Bhakti Sutra, he gave various definitions of pure devotional service and they told it is their opinion. I told, okay, according to Yajna Valka, this is pure devotional service. According to him, it is so. According to him, it is so. But he never told pure devotional service is this. And at the same time, he said, according to me, it is so. So it is only everybody's perception. They are not wrong. But what exactly is pure devotional service? If you want to know, just read this verse and memorize this verse. If you are a devotee, then I request that everybody has to memorize this verse. Anya vilashita ajurnyam jnana karma adhyanavratam anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhaktiruttama. Just see how perfect is this Krishna. Srila Vishnu Thakur and also Jiva Goswami, they take a trial balance for this verse. And then check every word and analyze every word of this definition given by Rupa Goswami. And then come to a conclusion, there cannot be any extra, there need not be any extra word or extra sentence added to modify this to make it perfect. Nor, there is something extra within that, because for any word to be defined, it should satisfy three conditions. It should describe, the definition should describe that particular object perfectly, and the definition should not fit to any other object, or this definition what you are giving should not describe only the object in half way or half or in a partial way. So these three conditions have to fit to a definition. But now here, Rupa Goswami is every word in this verse, Anya Abhilashita Shunyam. He doesn't say Sarva Abhilashita Shunyam. Anya means, apart from certain desires, all other desires should be given. Apart from Anya means apart from. What are those desires one can have? Those desires which can please Krishna. If you have a desire to get a son to please Krishna, no problem. So it is the intention. But at the same time, be surrendered. And Krishna has his own way of fulfilling. That is Vaita. Oh Lord, it is up to you now. I have a desire to have a son so that I can please you. No problem. But at the same time, oh Lord, you are at your wish whether to fulfill my desire or not to fulfill my desire. Yatha tathava vidadatulam patu mat prananatastu saevanaparaha. You give darshan, I have a great desire that you should give me darshan. Whether you give darshan or don't give, you are my Lord. So, it is such a beautiful verse. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma adhyanavratam anukulyena krishnanushilanam bhakti uttama. In this way, Vidwan, a person who is very learned, those sadasya, those sitting there, they were so learned that they could bring anga, who was very much disturbed because the demigod is not coming. He made him to the position of pure devotional service, make him accept, you worship Krishna. If he gives, well and good. Doesn't give, well and good. Be dependent on Krishna. Falodayaha eva yeshaha tata apuman falodayaha. So, the desires ultimately are going to be fulfilled by the Supreme Lord. So you give up being disturbed by the demigods are not, by demigods not coming. You engage your mind and senses and completely be surrendered to the Supreme Lord. In this way, Anga's mind was completely changed and he was made into a Vaishnava by this, by the sadasya, by the pravachan, by the lectures given by the sadasya, that how it is Hari who is the Supreme Lord and have faith in him. That is what they are saying. Hare Krishna. Any questions, please to ask.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. I just wanted to glorify this class. It was very, very beautiful from the beginning to the end. Thank you so much for the very valuable insights. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you for the wonderful class. I have one question. So the Anya Abhilashita Shunyam verse, like you mentioned that, you know, we can have desires that we might think that might be useful in our service of Krishna, but like where do we put a stop to it? Like, I mean, we might always think that, oh, I need this, this, and in the process that we might think that, you know, it. We might think that, you know, but those, our desires are like never ending. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm just wondering.
Once Srila Prabhupada was not well, he was very sick. Then his disciples went and told Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, you're going to pay to Radha Madhav that you should, he should cure you. He should bring your health back. Then Srila Prabhupada told, you pray to the Supreme Lord, Madhav, with one prefix, if you so desire. Then the devotees, they started praying, oh Lord, if you so desire, yadi aap chahe to, if you so desire, you please bring back the health of Srila Prabhupada. So when you, as soon as you say, if you so desire, that means immediately you are expressing your surrender. Actually, I am not insisting on this. I have a desire, But at the same time, if I have a desire, where will I go? If a boy has a desire, where will he go? Go to the parent only, mother only, na? So, Lord, I come to you. But at the same time, I know that I want to be surrendered to you. If you so desire, fulfill. And I am desiring so that if I get this thing, I can please you. I can engage it in service, in your service. So somebody says, oh Lord, I want a car. No, if you so desire, give me a car so that I can go to the temple faster, I can go to preaching program, I can use it in service. So, if you so desire, this surrender makes, if at all there is some contamination within our consciousness of having some personal desire, that will totally burn. That is the power of surrender. Like Dhruva Maharaj, he surrendered, what happened? All the desires, if at all, they're all burnt. So this class, use it, if you so desire.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhu. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, this is Damodaranandan Das from Bloomington, Illinois. Thank you much for this wonderful lecture. The recitation of invocation prayers was so attractive, but you know, because of the echo, I could not hear it properly, but thank you very much. I have a question and a little bit of comment. You know, we are in this section of the Bhagavatam where it's being glorified to have a son for the parents. We recently read Garuda Puran because one of our devotees passed away. So
yeah,
in that it is given, if you have a son and he does the antyeshtis, you can go to Uttaradha planet and everything. But then at the same time, there are alternatives. If you have an elder son, if you don't have the elder son, the other son can do it. If you don't have a son, then somebody else can do it. If you have no children, then also there is an alternative to do samskaras. And also in the Bhagavatam, later on it explains that it's not that you have to have a son because then you can even suffer because of having a son. So it's a very balanced view that's given in Bhagavatam. So what is your opinion about that, Prabhuji? Hare Krishna.
Yeah, it depends on the person. See, you cannot, everybody is not of the same mood that everybody desires only son and all. It is a general trend. Exception is always there. Whenever you have a rule, there is always an exception. But the general desire is, at least as soon as they get married, they should have a desire to get a child. General desire is to have a son. So there will be exception also, definitely. We are not going to the exception part of it. The general rule is, you should have children. Let us not get into the gender complexity here. But it is a general, it is a rule. One should get married only to have children, to become mother, father. Whether it is a father or mother for a girl child or boy child, that is different. According to their karma, they will get. But there is one sanskar called Pumsava sanskar. So, generally, so there is always exception. That is always, you told about... there are always alternatives. Definitely, for Shraddha, there are many alternatives. There is also an alternative called you go to Gaya and then should do Shraddha for yourself. If you have no faith that your children are not going to do any Shraddha. There are so many alternatives. We are not going to get into those complexities.
All right. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yes. Hare Krishna Prabhu. Yeah, I'm sorry. I do have a couple questions. Thank you for clarifying, first of all. I'm not so clear as to why a person cannot get married, not because they want to have a child, but for the sake of companionship. Because my understanding is that marriage... is like if you have desires, you purify them through commitment to one partner. Can you just...
The Vedic understanding of Vivaha Sanskar is only for Garbhadana. They cannot be any just companionship and all these things is all Western outlook. Because Vamsha, you have to progeny. Because the first job given by Krishna to Brahma is Prajapati. You increase the progeny. Because the more opportunity you give human life, opportunity for the souls to get human life, the more opportunity for them to go back home, back to Godhead. So that is the purpose of actually begetting children. So in the Vedic system, the more children, the family is more prosperous and more blessing. So this one and two restriction, these are all coming out of the consciousness of sense enjoyment. So it is actually, husband-wife actually are meant to be father-mother. Once they become father-mother, there is no thought of any sense enjoyment. If it all comes, it is only become to father-mother. So, of course, there are some exceptions, those who are just there. But we are not talking about it. In general, every child, she is a girl child. I remember my cousin, my father's brother's daughter, she is the only sister whom I have. So my grandfather, when he used to address her, she was just only 5 years old, in our language, in the Telugu language, my grandfather used to address her. Her name was Sita. Her name is Sita. Amma Sitamma Talli to Rama. Just to call her. She would address, my grandfather used to address a 5-year-old child as mother 5 times in just one sentence. Why? Because right from the childhood, from the age of 5, she is trained. You are not a girl. You are not a woman, you are mother. You are not a girl, you are not a woman, you are a mother. So that has to be implanted. This culture implants this thing. So this is the reason a person gets married to beget children. If they don't beget children, sinful.
So those people who are suffering from loneliness, then what are they supposed to do?
This loneliness thing is because of not getting married at early age. They should get married at early age.
No, but if their life is such that there have been no prospects, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know, let's say their life didn't work that way, so
then
what are they supposed to do?
Then Guru and Krishna. Then Guru and Krishna, that's all.
What does that mean?
Then just depend on Guru and Krishna and then be engaged in service of Krishna as much as possible. And there's a community also. Because, you see, you're talking about a very unique situation of a particular person or particular few people or a particular country. Where,
I don't think it's an exceptional situation. I see a lot of effectors. Yeah.
And maybe I'm not the right person to answer these things because I am from a different background.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, let me just ask this one last question I had was about when you were talking about the fact that Rupa Goswami was the only person who gave definition of devotional service, right? And then you compared him to what others had done in connection. And that part I didn't understand, how you compared what others had said in connection to devotional service.
There is one book called Narada Bhakti Sutra written by Narada.
Yeah, I know that.
So
book.
There he tries to define devotion. So while trying to define devotion, he just says, according to Sandilya, this is so. According to Garga Rishi, it is so. Devotion is so. According to me, it is so. According to Yajnavalkya, devotion is so. So he is only giving the perception of these rishis about pure devotional service. Even in the book which is supposed to define what is bhakti, athato bhaktim yakhyasyamaha, now I'll explain to you what is bhakti. So the entire thing, he only tried to define, he only gave the opinion of different people, that's all. But what exactly it is? When it came, the Narada said, mukha svadatvat. It is like a dumb person who cannot speak. It's called dumb, no? Yeah, dumb person. If he give a rasgulla to him, sweet to him, very nice sweet, and he eats it, he's so happy. You ask him, explain it, he cannot explain. So Narada went to this much extent, he said, mukha svadatvat. How can you define bhakti? It is like this, mukha svadatvat. A dumb person trying to describe the sweetness of rasgulla. Even Narada Bhakti Sutra, this kind of definition of devotional service is never found. That is, anya vilashita shunyam, jnana karma dinavratam, anukulina krishnanu shilanam, bhakti ruttama. That becomes the paribhasha sutra of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Defining words for the entire book.
So others, they merely, I would say, maybe just like comments about what...
Yeah, comments. Or they gave their idea of devotion. Or their perception of what is devotion.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Nanya Pranam. Very beautiful class. Thank you very much for the wonderful explanation of all this and about desires and how Krishna fulfills the desires. I just had one question about Vaina, King Anga. He wanted a son and he was a nice devotee. So he was praying to Krishna. He had this mood of serving Krishna by raising a nice son. So what was wrong with his desire? Even if we say bad karma, but for devotees, it's not just the karma. And you said that Krishna has his own way of fulfilling desires for devotees. Yeah. So how can we understand this? That he didn't have a wrong desire. His mood was to serve Krishna by his son.
If this had been a wrong desire, then the sadasya, learned people in the assembly, they would have said, Vaina, it is a wrong desire, isn't it? They would have told him. They told him, express your desire to Krishna.
Yes, Prabhu, but I'm asking, why did Krishna not fulfill his desire in the proper way by giving him a good son?
This is what it is. What Krishna does is best, and how it is best for us, that we have to understand. First, have faith, whatever Krishna does for us is best. Now, the problem is, we think that what is best for me according to my thing, my intelligence. And we define what is good, what is bad. If Vena had to get renunciation, when Anga had to get renunciation, he required such a son. So Krishna has his own plan. Not only one plan. With one activity, he fulfills 100 plans. So it is very difficult to understand Krishna. That is why, if you so desire, surrender. We say good son, bad son, right son, wrong son. But who is good son? Who is bad son? What is good for us? Sometimes it may be bad son may be good for us. And sometimes good son may be bad for us. Like it is said that when Prabhupada when the marriage was fixed, Vivaha Sanskara was fixed for Prabhupada, then first Prabhupada's father told, now if you get married to a beautiful girl, you are very attached. Better you don't marry to a beautiful girl. So, we just cannot have one rule for everyone. It is Krishna who knows what is best for us. Our only job is to surrender. That's all. And express if at all we have some desire. Not to, oh Lord, I have only one desire to please you. With this desire being fulfilled, I want to please you. So is Krishna's wish whether to fulfill or not to fulfill, and how he is going to fulfill, that is called surrender. And that makes, even though we are contaminated, to be qualified to practice pure devotional service. You don't have you to be a pure devotee to practice pure devotional service. If you are surrendered in contaminated heart also, we can start performing pure devotional service. That is called surrender. So let Krishna define what is good and bad for us, instead of we defining what is good and bad for us.
Yes, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, can I follow up on that answer, please?
Yes, Sadhi, I could not get you.
May I follow up? I have a follow-up question to the answer you just gave.
Yes.
Yeah, so if we approach Krishna with a particular desire, and, you know, we say, you know, and we surrender to whatever Krishna wants, right? Mm. And let's say Krishna's answer is no, you're not getting that, you know?
Yeah.
So can we expect that Krishna will show us at some point in time how his way was actually the best for us? Can we have confidence that we will one day see how Krishna's, even though we didn't get what we wanted, can we have confidence that Krishna will show us that his answer or way of doing things was the best?
Yes, he'll show us. He'll speak to us. Mm-hmm. He'll not just show, he'll speak to us through a devotee, through Bhagavad Gita. There is a particular system. It is not a system, but a particular a way of study of scripture. That is called Prashna. That means, all of a sudden, just take Bhagavad Gita, open a page. When you are in dilemma, you will get the answer from there. It may be through a devotee, it may be through your guru, it may be through some more Krishna speaks. But you should have the intelligence to identify that.
Or if you don't, I'm sure Krishna will somehow help you to understand, right? How his way was the best way, somehow or other.
Yes. Dadami buddhyogam tam yirama upayantite tesam sutyuktana bhajadam pritipurvakam dadami buddhyogam tam. I'll give you the intelligence.
Because he wants us to have faith in him, so, you know, unless he shows us how this was the best way when we didn't get what we wanted, you know, it might, you know, hinder that faith, you know.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, people, thank you.
Are there any more questions for Prabhuji?
We can stop here.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a wonderful class today. We're very grateful to you and really look forward to having your association again in future. If nobody has any more questions, we would like to close the call here.
Yes, we are obeisances to all the Vaishnavas, Vancha Kalpata Rupeshya, Krupa
Sivya. Patitanam Pavanethya, Vaishnavethya, Namo Namaha. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Shira Prabhupada Ki Jai, His Grace Kamal Lotan Prabhuji Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.